The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how you do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to continue with Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 10. So, overview of today's broadcast, we're looking again at what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. We'll continue to look at the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. We will review Joyner's experience of the judgment. This is Rick Joyner, the writer of The Final Quest and The Call, and a notable prophet. We will start by looking at the outer darkness, and we will then get to the foolish virgins. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. This is based on the ebook 2024-0103, originally written in 2003, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on the Final Quest. This is the third edition, and we're looking at part 10. And we're continuing to look at the judgment seat. On page 75, the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, incorrectly Christ, is introduced. In considering this, the fundamental reality is that at the instant that one first believes in Yah, he imparts a portion of his spirit set apart to that person. This is the set apart spirit, incorrectly translated as the Holy Spirit. When one invites Yah to fill oneself with his spirit, further portions are given, and the anointing, the manifest presence of the Almighty on the individual, grows. It is this portion of Yah's spirit that indwells us and knows everything that we say, do, and think, and which gives utterance and performs miracles. It is also this portion of Yah's spirit that judges us when we come before the judgment seat. So I only realized this very recently because of the wrong translation, judgment seat of, of Christ. Everybody thinks it's Jesus' judgment seat. No, no, no. It's the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, the set-apart Spirit of Yah. It's the judgment of the believer by the portion of Yah's Spirit that has indwelled that believer from the second that they believed. That's the portion of Yah's Spirit that knows everything about you, everything that you've said, done, and thought from the moment you believed to the moment that you died and came before the judgment seat. Really important to realize that. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 10 states, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the anointing of Yah, incorrectly Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In the final quest, page 75, paragraph 5, that's the copy of the final quest that I've read and marked up. It's available on the ETI website under the ETI Bible version page. There's a copy of the final quest because I believe that the final quest is as close to modern scripture as you're going to get. It is stated that the judgment is the greatest fear in creation, and that it is also the source of the greatest wisdom that we can know in this life or in the life to come. It is apparent that seeking to know the judgments of the Almighty and thereby to know how to please him is an essential component of qualifying for a high throne for eternity. We will only get to a high throne via the judgment. Therefore, it is important that we are aware of the judgment and what it entails. We can only do this if we're willing to seek his face, and if we're willing to ask him to judge us and guide us constantly. I've spoken before about a prayer that I've prayed many times in the last 25 years or so. "Father, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly." You may say, how can you do that? Well, when I prayed it, I had confidence that Father would not judge me beyond what I could endure, not sentence me beyond what I can, and it's never happened. I've broken teeth. I've been in agony for a few days, but it was not beyond what I could endure. On page 75 and 76 of the final quest, it is stated that believers today are not giving much attention to the judgment. 76, paragraph 1, it is stated that the greatest authority that men can receive will be entrusted only to those who are willing to experience judgment in this life. Thus, the only way to a high throne in heaven, which is after all a judge's or ruler's throne, is to be judged in this life, so one can be found fit to judge, in other words, rule, together with Yeshua in the life to come. Refer Revelation chapter 2. Verses 26 and 27, referring to overcomers that I've cited previously. Folks, this is so, so important. There's such a lack of understanding that how you live your life is going to determine how you spend eternity. I can't stress this enough. If you don't believe, you're going to stay on earth as a demon and ancestor spirit. If you do believe but you do nothing about it, you're going to the outer darkness. If you do believe and sort of potter along, go to church, do a few things, you might make it to the outer reaches of the throne room. On the other hand, if you actively seek to know Yah, if you actively seek to please Yah, if you actively seek to be filled with his Spirit and to do works that bring him pleasure, that advance his kingdom, you have the potential to sit on a throne and even sit on a high throne with great authority, great splendor, great prestige in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's what I want. And I think if you stop and think about it, it might just be what you want. Page 79, paragraph 2 states, Yah has a different definition of peace and safety than we do. To be wounded in the fight is a great honor. It is Yahushua's, incorrectly, the Lord's stripes that we are healed, and it is through our stripes that we too are given authority for healing. In the very place that the enemy wounds us, once we are healed, we're given the power to heal others. Healing was a basic part of Yeshua's ministry, and it is also a basic part of ours. That is one reason why the Almighty allows bad things to happen to his people, so that they can receive the compassion for others by which the power of healing operates. That is why the emissary, Shaul, Paul, told of his beatings and stonings when his authority was questioned. Every wound, every bad thing that happens to us can be turned into the authority to do good. Every beating that Paul took resulted in salvation for others. Every wound that every warrior takes will result in others being saved, healed, or restored. It is so important to understand that the losses and wounds that we suffer in this life, provided they result from obedience to the Almighty, do constitute treasure in heaven. In other words, if one is praying to be an overcomer, praying to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," and similar prayers, then one should not be surprised when one experiences attacks, both spiritual and physical, and loss for the sake of the kingdom. There's a lot of wrong teaching that you believe, and then you have this sort of chariot ride of glory and everything's happened. Yes, you can get to a place where you walk in favor, where you walk in prosperity, where you walk in health, but at the same time, you may find that things happen that injure you physically, spiritually. Depends how you live your life, depends on your relationship with Father, depends on whether you come to a place where you're free of sin and free of error. Consider James in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word rendered temptations means a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline, or provocation. By implication, adversity. That's in Strong's Concordance. This is about being tested in our obedience and willingness to suffer loss. Are we willing to literally take up the stake and literally follow Yeshua, either to physical torture or to spiritual torment and loss? 1994, Father spoke to me through my own mouth and said, "I'm calling you to the death of the cross." I didn't know then that it was the stake, so he couldn't say the death of the stake. In the years that followed, I suffered greatly at a psychological level. In particular, I went through a brutal divorce. I lost custody of my children. I became angry and bent out of shape. But I was trying my best to serve Father. And that has given me the ability to help others who are going through similar things. Page 79, paragraph 4, indicates that there is no courage unless there's real danger, and reminds us of the Almighty's exhortation to Joshua, the servant of Moshe, Moses, where in actual fact the correct rendering of that Hebrew name is Yahushua, the same as Yahushua of Nazareth, who died without sin. So he exhorted Yahushua to be strong and courageous. Refer Joshua, Yahushua, chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, quoting the Almighty. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of their life. As I was with Moshe, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moshe my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Folks, so important. Yeshua, Joshua, had spent a lot of time in the tabernacle when he was serving Moses, Moshe. He was strongly anointed, strong in one faith. He still had to physically go out there with a sword and destroy the nations in the land that Yah had promised to give to them, the Israelites. So here we see immediately after telling Joshua, Yeshua, that he will be with Yeshua as he was with Moshe, the Almighty three times instructs Yeshua to be strong and courageous. The Almighty would go with Israel, however Israel had to fight the battle, which included seeking the Almighty for guidance and assistance and being obedient to the commandments of the Almighty. In other words, both a physical and a spiritual battle, where the essence of the spiritual battle is to do what the Almighty tells one to do, no matter how our natural minds judge it, like taking one's son to sacrifice or kill, like walking around the city for 7 days so the walls fall down, like raising a staff to the Red Sea so that the waters part, like telling the sun and moon to stand still, like being thrown into a den of lions, like being beaten and dying on a stake without committing any sin, and so on. This is some indication of the courage the Almighty is seeking in his overcomers. So this is really important, folks. If you're coasting along as a believer, and I don't really care whether you're a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim or a whatever, if you have some sort of level of belief in the Creator, and you're just coasting along, maybe you go to shul or mosque or church or whatever, temple, now and again, and you think that you are a mighty servant of the Most High, I'm sorry. If you're not doing significant things for Yah, you're not on the radar screen for a high throne. Returning to the final quest, page 480, paragraph 4, states, until you've beheld and appreciated the depths of the treasures of salvation, you cannot see the glory that comes from suffering for the sake of the good news, incorrectly gospel. Once you've seen it, you're ready for the tests that will release the highest levels of spiritual authority into your life. These scars are the glory that we will carry forever. This is why even the wounds our Lord Yeshua suffered are with him in heaven. You can still see his wounds. These are the medals of honor in heaven. All who carry them love Yah and his truth more than their own lives. These are the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he went, being willing to suffer for the sake of truth, righteousness, and the salvation of men. True leaders of Yah's people who carry genuine spiritual authority must have first proven their devotion in this way. This reinforces the message that it is an honor and a privilege to suffer in the service of the Almighty. So I ask you to consider this. I'm not offering you an easy ride the rest of your life. I'm challenging you to take the road less traveled. I'm challenging you to walk on the narrow road. I'm challenging you to seek to go through the narrow gate. I exchanged messages the other day with a believer who's been walking with me for a couple of years. He said, I feel like you're walking a tightrope. And I said, yes, you are walking a tightrope. The road is narrow, it's straight, it's difficult. And until you get comfortable walking on the road, you are effectively walking a tightrope. Page 81, paragraph 2, it states that it is through these sufferings one's worthiness to receive the great authority that will be given to those who become members of the Almighty's own household are surely proven. 81.3, it is stated that courage is a demonstration of faith, evimuna, and that the Almighty never promised that his way would be easy, but he has assured us that it would be worth it. In 82.3, it is stated that said to the joiner that because you've been faithful in a few things, you will now be given the great honor of going back to suffer, that you may be made a ruler over many more. Each of us must ask ourselves whether we are willing to make sacrifices in order to become rulers in heaven versus living a comfortable life on earth and something much less in the life to come. 83.2, Jonah states, what seems right is usually the least fruitful path and often the road to failure. Throughout my journey, the path of greatest risk was the path that led to the greatest reward. There's a huge thing here that if you're going to walk truly with Yah, if you're going to keep all 10 of his commandments, it's not necessarily easy. People won't understand you. People will ridicule you. You'll go out and do things and apparently produce no fruit. It's not that easy to stop lying and stop lusting and coveting and so forth. Page 83, paragraph 3, we're advised that it takes more emunah, faith, to walk in the higher realms of the spirit. It is suggested that the map to the kingdom of the Almighty is contained in the words, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. We're advised that those words alone can keep us on track. Reinforcing what I've just said, it is not easy to really intensely, actively serve Yah. It's very easy. The way is broad and it's easy to serve Satan. If you look at the splash page for the broadcast, you'll see the mountain. And the vast majority of the population are in the sea around the mountain. Very small number are climbing the mountain. I'm challenging you today to climb the mountain of Yah and seek to draw close to him. Seek to make a difference on the earth. You can be one of the hordes of dissolute, ineffective people serving Satan. And you can get a lot of satisfaction. You can get wealthy. You can get a lot of prestige. And it'll all be gone the day that you die and you wake up to find that you're a disembodied spirit in a corpse, in a grave, or in a crematorium oven, or maybe on some other believer. Maybe you managed to get onto your grandchild and haunt them and lead them down the same wrong road that you took. So let's talk about Joiner's experience of the judgment. Starting on page 84, Joiner reports a series of visions in which he's taken into the hall of judgment in heaven and experiences judgment of himself. This experience includes meeting with other people who've already died and been judged. In his conversations with his people, he learns much about the judgment and how life on earth is viewed very differently by the Almighty relative to how men view it. Insofar as each person is judged immediately they die, these visions were all real experiences and Joiner did actually meet with the people concerned. It is important to be aware that the so-called Day of Judgment is the day on which the outcome of the contest will be determined, i.e. whether Satan has won or lost a competition to totally corrupt mankind. See the webpage, The Contest, for more information. the whole 7,000 years of humankind on earth is about, will you have a deep personal relationship with Yah, or will you serve Satan? It's that stark, it's that brutal. There is a whole lot of rubbish being told about the end of life, virtually all of which is nonsense. You will be judged when you die. And the first judgment is, are you a believer or not? If you're not a believer, will you just go back to your corpse and stay there unless a Satan servant comes and harvests you? It's vitally important to be aware that in terms of the rules of engagement, neither Father nor Yeshua nor the people interviewed in the final quest were permitted to directly correct wrong beliefs and teachings. Thus, Joyner was not corrected in terms of a number of serious errors which are perpetuated in the final quest. We're each responsible for seeking truth, and in this context, constant seeking after truth, fasting, etc., as described in the article, Seven Components in Growing Close to Yah, are vital. Look on the under the home page on the website for the article. See also the article on the rules of engagement for more information. The article, The Essence of the Rules of Engagement in the Contest, on the webpage, Essence Rules of Engagement in the Contest. Folks, the contest is about Satan rebelling. Yah was about to throw Satan into the lake of fire and brimstone to be utterly destroyed, along with all the messengers, the angels that followed him. Satan turned around and said, I challenge you. If you put me on earth with these human beings you're about to create, after 7,000 years, there will be not one in right standing with you. And Yah got angry. He said, Satan, that's nonsense. I'll put you on earth and I'll show you that you're wrong. Sadly, Satan has just about won the battle so far. He nearly won it in 2003. Yah scraped through with one person. In 3003, if there's not one believer in right standing, free of sin, who knows what's going on, to pray for Yeshua to return, Yeshua will not return and Satan will reign on earth for eternity. Yah will take his people off the earth. That's the rapture. I am certain that Joyner did experience the visions he describes, and that most, but not all, of what is reported in the final quest is from the Almighty and is for our edification, instruction, and guidance. Joyner specifically records that in some cases he allowed some time to elapse before recording his experiences. We must also constantly be aware of the rules of engagement, preventing even the Almighty from correcting our error and sin, unless we first prayed for him to do so. So your experience of the Almighty is in large measure constrained and determined by what you pray and what those close to you pray for you. Joyner describes the judgment experience commencing at the outer reaches of the outer darkness until he eventually reaches the throne and subsequently is permitted to have conversations with certain people who are sitting on thrones. I understand this information to be enormously important for anyone who aspires to spend eternity in heaven. I have to say to you that in my opinion, the final quest and the call are probably the two most important books on planet Earth today in commercial distribution. If you've not read them, I encourage you to get them and read them. They're on the website. Look under the ETI Bible version page. They're sitting there because I regard them as of comparable importance to the Bible. They give us an understanding of things about the realm of heaven that is not available anywhere else that I've come across. Moving on, the outer darkness. In the vision, Joyner enters into the judgment hall through a door. As the door closes behind him, he finds himself in, quote, the most frightening darkness I had ever experienced, 84.5. He describes a terrible battle with fear and even states that he began to think that he'd stepped into hell itself. I understand this to be the outer darkness referred to in various passages above. It seems that there is a place in heaven which is terrible and frightening. This is a place for believers. And Father Yah says that today the vast majority of people who believe end up there. He refers to this place as the trash heap of heaven. He is highly displeased with the people who find themselves here because they ignored him throughout their lives. Note that these people still pass through hell to pay the price for their unconfessed sin before arriving at this destination for eternity. Think about it. Maybe you did believe at some point in time. Maybe the light went on at some instant. And then you just carried on living life the way you'd always done, going to the movies, doing whatever it is that you do, and totally ignoring Yah. When you die, you'll come before the judgment seat. You'll go to hell to pay the price for all your unconfessed sins. And then you will be banished to this place where the darkness is so frightening that Jonah describes it as being hell itself. And you will stay there forever and ever and ever. So if I were you and you're a believer, I'd pull my socks up and start actively serving Yah. In this location, Joyner does not report meeting anyone, or having any conversations. This does not mean there were not people there, simply that it was so dark that he may not have met anyone who might have been there, and he might not have been able to receive what they might have to say, or that they were constrained by the rules of engagement, which I think is the valid case. After entering into the outer darkness, Jonah reports that he cried out for forgiveness and for help, and then started to see Yeshua on a stake as a light in the distance and started to move towards it. As he did so, he began to experience peace. As he moved forward, he describes no longer feeling cold, then starting to see a dim light, which gradually becomes a glorious light, which then became so wonderful that I felt that I was entering into heaven itself. So the rules of engagement of the contest, because Joyner apparently did not believe in the outer darkness, he was not able to receive communication from people in the outer darkness. He was not even able to be aware that they were there. It's a major issue with believers today who are trapped into paradigms of error, are not fasting and seeking truth, and therefore never get revelation of their errors and their sin. And then they get to heaven and they find that they've got to spend a whole lot of time in hell to pray, to pay the price of their wrong doctrine, their wrong beliefs. It's frightening stuff, folks. This game that you think you're playing is not a game. It's a high stakes, winner takes all competition. In 85:3, Joyner describes how he soon reached a point where the beauty of it could not even be imagined by any reference to human architecture. He reports that he was overwhelmed with joy and beauty. Heaven truly is exceedingly beautiful, and there is joy to be experienced there. Also in 85:3, Joyner reports that he then understood that every time he had experienced great pain or darkness of soul, it had been followed by a much greater revelation of glory and peace. Very difficult in a written document to convey what Joyner saw. But if we just take it at its face value, the beauty of it could not even be imagined by any reference to human architecture. Overwhelmed with joy and beauty. Those are direct quotes from the final quest. So visualize the most beautiful building you've ever seen and understand that heaven is much more beautiful. Don't you want to spend eternity there? Why would you want to spend eternity in the outer darkness as a believer who ignored Yah? Why would you want to spend eternity on earth as a demon or ancestor spirit with no motive power in a grave, in a crematorium oven, haunting somebody? They're horrible consequences, folks. You can have a great life, lots of money, fancy house or houses, fancy yacht. But when you die, you're just going to be one more demon. And there are over 100 billion demons on the planet today. 100 billion people who died not believing in the Creator, increasing moment by moment. It is perhaps helpful for some who have had experiences of pain or darkness of soul to see that such experiences may well also have had similar benefits that may only become apparent at the time of their judgment. In 85.4 and 86.1, Joyner reports a holy fear, a set-apart fear, as he moved towards the judgment seat. But he also experienced the judgment seat as a source of more security than I'd ever experienced. I read The Final Quest for the first time in about 1998. I subsequently read it 10, 20 times in the years that followed. I've written several articles that reference The Final Quest. I've purchased and given away, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 copies to people that I regarded important that I thought should read it. It is an extremely important book. If you have not read it, buy it on Amazon or go to the website and read it online. I've put my commentary and clarifications in the version that's on the website. It's a powerful story. It opens up understanding on a whole range of issues. And it should encourage you to actively seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator of the heavens and earth, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. And if you're still calling him God and the Lord, for goodness sake, just stop it. It's arrant nonsense. Then the foolish virgins. In 86.3, Joyner describes noticing enormous numbers of people standing in ranks. He describes them as dazzling, more regal than anyone I'd ever seen. Their countenance was captivating. Never had such peace and confidence graced a human face. Each one was beautiful beyond any earthly comparison. Joyner enters into conversation with one of these people who informs him that they are the great cloud of witnesses and that they know all of you and we see all that you do. This information in its own right is sobering. The great cloud of witnesses are in some way able to observe all that we are doing. In addition to the Almighty, they're seeing what we do or do not do. They see what we do in private. They see our arguments, our sin, etc. So if your parents are believers, they're watching you still. On page 87, Joyner recognizes someone that he'd known on earth, and they enter into conversation. In 87.3, this man states that, quote, heaven is much greater than we could have dreamed while on earth, end quote, and states that the room where Joyner finds himself is but the threshold of realms of glory that are far beyond the ability we had to comprehend. Clearly, heaven is a desirable place to spend eternity. That's all for this week. I will continue next week with more on where will you spend eternity. I have a few things to share with you in a minute. But the key thing here, folks, is that heaven is real. It is possible for you to enter heaven at various levels. We're talking at the moment about the foolish virgins, which are in the outer reaches of the throne room. And as he progresses, he will get to talk to the overcomers who are sitting on thrones for eternity, ruling over cities, ruling over star systems, ruling over planets. And he will talk to some of those people. I encourage you to sign in next week and just take the story to the next level. It's so powerful, folks. It's there for you. Why would you not say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I come to you. I desire to spend eternity in heaven with you. I believe that you exist. Come and dwell in me. Lead me and guide me. Take me by the hand and help me to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. And then drop me an email. I will support you by phone, Zoom, Teams, whatever. Email. Help you to, WhatsApp. Help you to grow in your relationship with Father. Go for it. It's the right time. So I want to wrap up by asking, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. When I say, do you worship him at every opportunity, I'm not saying every Sunday. I'm saying throughout the day, every day. Do you turn on worship music when you wake up? Do you have worship music playing in your house 24/7 when you're not there? Do you have a little MP3 player that you can listen to worship songs when you're on public transport or when you're sitting at your desk at work? It is possible to worship him much of the time. He so values that. Constantly ask him to fill you. Constantly ask him to help you to get closer to him. Constantly declare your loyalty to him. Closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know. And I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, tall or short, thin or fat, blonde, blue-eyed, brown eyes, black hair, anything in between, African, Asian, European, Caucasian, Satanist, witch, warlock, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, anything. Doesn't matter your denomination. Father Yah wants a deep personal relationship with you personally, not the person to the left or right of you or in front of you or behind you or above you or below you. He wants a relationship with you. I urge you today, Father Yah, take me by the hand and help me to become your friend. And then do what you find to do. There is lots of information on the website. Dive in there. Email me. We can get on Zoom. We can get on WhatsApp. I will help you to draw closer if you will contact me. So for those of you who've been listening regularly, I'm going to say good night. For those of you who've only attended, if this is your first time or the first few, there's a bit of information I'd like to share with you, so please hold on for that. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant and project manager. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe near the top of the website. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for a lot more information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version suite of pages. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the internet if you search on Google for quote, relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least three or four podcast websites with the back issues. Also, the back issues and transcripts are on the transcripts of broadcasts page on the website near the top. Books with teachings from 1998 to May 2019 are on the books for printing page near the top of the website. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Thanks so much for joining me. Good night.
Father, I come to you.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? I want to ask you if you know what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. And I want to stress to you that heaven is a very desirable place to spend eternity. If you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you are missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or Talk4TV.com. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Cheerio.